All right, everybody, welcome to the Dangerous Men podcast. Welcome to Thursday if you're watching it live on a Thursday. Otherwise, whatever day of the week you're in right now, welcome to the present moment. It's good
Thirsty
to be with
Thursday.
You. That's right. Sponsored by Blanton's and Elmer T. Lee.
Yes.
Bourbon and a couple of good cigars. How you guys doing today?
I'm pretty good. How about for an old guy? I'm doing well.
Pretty good for an old guy, and Grant is incredible.
I'm doing great for a newly minted 30-year-old, so.
Let's go. That's right. Recent birthday, you're out in Colorado skiing?
Just shredding the pal.
Working?
Pretend that's like what I he's meant visiting to say. His grandpa.
Yeah, that's right.
Overshot that grandpa. By 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Just skiing vicariously for Lowell.
That's helpful. I appreciate it.
Yeah. With all the snow they had out there, I'm sure you hit a few rocks.
No rocks. They got dumped on.
All
we
powder.
Got like 2 feet of pow.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It's more than we have here in Minnesota. So I was going to ask to get us warmed up here, what our favorite moment that we've seen in the ministry this past month, what we've seen God doing. But we ought to start with you, Grant, since it's your birthday and you were skiing down mountains.
On your birthday?
Yeah. What's been your favorite moment this past month? What's God been up to in your life?
In my life or in Dangerous Men?
Both. Yeah, they happen to cross over, but more power to you.
I'll go Dangerous Men number one. So we had a couple groups up at University of Minnesota Duluth. Two guys that are involved with Chi Alpha and InterVarsity, their campus ministry up there. And their only interaction with Dangerous Men was one of the guys in their small group had been through Dangerous Men. His older brother took him through. Which he was actually, his older brother was in a youth group at Grace Church here in Minnesota. So that I took him through. But they had no other interaction with Dangerous Men, and they were just completely on fire. They saw the problem and the issues that all the guys in their small groups were running into, and really wanted to intentionally tackle the issue of lust and sexual purity and freedom. And they got a hold of Dangerous Men, and they took all their guys through it. And just seeing the fruit and the stories of all of their guys, and one of their groups has done the Steps of Freedom retreat. Still another one they got to finish, but just seeing them jump full in and seeing the value and the conversations they were able to have was really cool. So,
awesome.
That's my number one for the last month.
And your personal life would probably be skiing down mountains, visiting your grandpa.
If that's spiritual, that's about as close to heaven as you can get is a fresh turn. So,
amen. I'll go along with that.
Yep.
You better go next.
You think I got to go next?
Yeah, because I think I might take some of your...
Probably.
Yeah.
Steal some of the thunder. I'm going to make you get creative instead of the other way around. Lowell and I were out middle of January. We're at the end of January now, but middle of January with a couple of groups from Ohio State University. First time I've been on or led a freedom retreat in what, 4 years, something like that. Super cool to be back in it, in the environment, and seeing all the same similar transformations, see God continue to work. Super powerful Friday night, watching Lowell lead the identity exercise and guys, boom, 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 one after the other, hear from God. And just kind of heart conversion it creates when you see a guy start to hear from the Lord, in many cases for the first time.
Yeah, very cool.
In that kind of context, and hear from God about themselves was really, really cool. One guy in particular just had a sense, sort of watching him, body language, and just, I don't know, a spiritual sense or just a sense that he was carrying a lot of the same shame that I had felt like when I first experienced Dangerous Men. And I had the opportunity of sharing that with him at the end of the retreat, but over the course of the weekend, just saw that stuff start to melt off of his life. And that's why I'm here doing this, because of what I was freely given through the encounter with Dangerous Men when I was a sophomore in college, and everything that it started to work in my life to give me an invitation towards freedom and experiencing a life without shame. From everything I had carried. So it was just super fun to watch. Like,
so
that
fun.
Man was me.
Yeah.
And the excitement that creates
like
in my heart, knowing, like knowing everything that God has in store for his life to build a life of adventure and freedom and purpose and meaning that he wouldn't have if he didn't encounter the Lord in that kind of way. So
for sure.
That was it for me.
God.
Yeah.
He does things.
God, he does things. And you can get a free t-shirt. God, he does things.
You can.
I don't know how you're going to get it, but good luck figuring it out.
That's right.
I'll give it to you free if you figure it out.
Well, or you could buy it.
Oh, you could buy it online.
On our website, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Subscribe
that's
to our
YouTube. That's
an easier
way to figure it out. Yeah. Yeah, that's,
well,
that's like
DMU.org.
Click away. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think the last couple of weeks I've been working on all the groups around the country and how to do, well, not Minnesota or Ohio or what, you know, the stuff Grant's doing in Minnesota, Iowa. So I do the rest of the country right now. And it was just so cool to watch how disciples making disciples. It just thrills me. It's like a kid here at Southwest Christian High School went through it with his soccer coach. He went to School of Mines in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I did a retreat last year. You know, I'm thinking like, there's only 9 kids. Should I spend the money to fly out there? I didn't have to rent a place, but usually you have to rent an Airbnb or something and pay for the food and do all this stuff. And is that worth spending all that money? Is it worth it? And then, yes, absolutely yes, for the freedom those 9 encountered that weekend. And then one goes to New Zealand. One lives in Littleton and commutes to school and started a Dangerous Men group in it with his high school friends, and 2 more started groups at the school. It's like, that's how it goes and that's how it starts. And it's so much fun watching actually making disciples the way Jesus asked us to make disciples.
Yeah. That's so funny. It makes me think of a LinkedIn post I saw from somebody yesterday, I think, that was about Jesus's ministry that he spent with the 12 apostles, like somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 hours with them over the course of the 3 years that he invited them to his side. And I wonder if he ever thought along that way, is all this time that I've invested in these 12 idiots actually worth it?
I think he did a lot.
Yeah.
You people of little faith.
Yeah.
When will you ever get this?
Yeah. Well, that's a great intro to our topic today.
For sure.
Talking about what it looks like to live generously. And I'd love to start with you, Lowell, because you embody this so well. This kind of sparked in a conversation you and I had last Thursday when I asked you.
In the hot tub.
In the hot tub.
Yeah.
Over a couple of hard-won cigars. You know, in the face of being in need, how do you continue to live generously? How do you continue to give away all that you have? And really, in particular, when it comes to money, I think that's probably, you know, for all of us as young men that are trying to either be providers of families or trying to build a career, whatever. Mm-hmm. So much of life day in and day out is how much money's in our bank account or how much is not. So much of our security or insecurity, experience of freedom or lack of freedom revolves around that. So I'd love to hear from you first, you know, how has the Lord taught you or invited you into that mindset or progressing you into that life of where you can so freely give even in your own need?
Well, the first problem is try not to read the Bible, because if you read the Bible, it kind of screws you up because you read things like in Proverbs. I read like a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Or Psalms, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Or Jesus, when he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely, freely I've given to you. Freely, freely give. Mm-hmm. So anytime I would... How do you not? You know, like our culture says that money is security, and that's a big lie. That's the illusion of security. You have the illusion that money will bring you security, you know, like, or it could just go away, or you could go bankrupt, or you could, business could burn down, or your house burn down, or whatever.
Do you know something about that?
Maybe. You know, it's like, it's not really security. It's just this illusion of that security. The only security we really have as follower of Jesus is what he says. His word is truth. Mm-hmm. And if I obey the truth, he will set us free. So, yeah, I can't get away from it. And once I learned how to freely, well, part of it is the 32 teenage foster kids I had and my wife, as they broke everything that I valued and stole everything. Well, you know, one kid stole my coin collection as I had from a little kid, uncirculated coins, broke them all out of the plastic and bought some cigarettes, you know. He spent several thousand dollars on a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, my gosh.
Or the kid who stole my grandpa's shotgun, that meant a lot. Or the kid who smashed my van five times. Or the, you know, it's like you start to realize that things aren't as important, are not as important. And it's, the reality is they're not security. And only Jesus gives that security. So why not share? Also, he tells us to share. Be generous. Susie and I both want to live as generously as possible.
Yeah.
And my life verse, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of everything else, including money. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely been true my whole life. The more generous I am, the more he gives back.
Mm-hmm. What, did you always have that kind of detachment? I mean, to get to the point where you're willing to foster kids, I feel like requires a certain level of detachment from your own interests, your own desires. This is how I want my life to go.
See, the problem, again, is I started reading Matthew 18. If you don't want to change your life, don't read the Bible, or just read it and don't do it. That helps.
Yeah.
But if you, I actually believe it's God's word. So when I read it, I actually want to obey it. And the more you obey it, the more you find out it's true. So then the more you want to obey.
Yeah.
It's like, why did dangerous men? You know, it's like James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. You know, it's like, there's no way I was going to do it. I crossed that out with a black magic marker. You know, it's like, that's a Bible verse I'm not going to follow until God convicted me enough that I decided to follow. And sure enough, there's healing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, it's true again.
Yeah. 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 As I love what you just said. I mean, it starts with that, what Jamie Winship has taught us about what true confession is. I love that line. True confession is telling the truth, right? It's being totally honest with where I actually am. And we spend so much of our lives either lying to ourselves or manipulating truth or sugarcoating truth. But that, to get to the point of real conversion in this area of learning to live generously, then starts with being totally true about my own either insecurity, fear,
right,
around the idea or agreement that I am, that I'm attached to money, or that money is a key to happiness and I need it to be happy. And if I don't have it, then I ought to be miserable. Watching other people be successful, comparing myself to
the success,
right?
Money, yeah, success.
Right.
It's not, I mean, no, that's a terrible, terrible thing to say, that that's only success is money. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But we think that way. In our culture, in our Western culture, that's how we think. We're all growing up, fed all the time, it's about money.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not successful if you don't have money.
And money, I mean, I love one of the comments you made is this, money beyond reasonable measure. Right. It's like the goal is such excess of wealth that you need not to rely on anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Until it just goes away one day.
Right. Right.
And then, you know, it's like, whoa, there must be a God. I got to talk to him now.
Yeah.
Can you take it with you when you die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they say that, but what do? We, in general, everybody's accumulating. Yeah. You know, sometimes I drive by all these storage places, you know, that is a billions of dollar business, that we have so much crap that we have to rent storage places because our houses aren't big enough for all the stuff we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why do we do that? Why do we have all that stuff?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or look at,
I need to change my investment strategy then.
I don't know. Don't follow Lowell's investment strategy. He'd tell you that.
But, you know, as I say a lot, I might be the one of the wealthiest men you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
I have massive wealth because I follow God's word in those areas of generosity.
Yeah.
That people, my tires last longer than yours.
Yeah. Yeah. You always say that. Yeah. I'm not rich, but I'm the wealthiest man on earth.
Yeah. I don't have money there. Well, wealth in relationships and people give back sometimes. They're inspired by generosity. They give more to others. I mean, it's a way of thinking that we have so much money in the United States. I mean, we're in a nice house, heated in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
I have a heated garage that's huge, and get in my heated car and drive around. You know, it's crazy the amount of money we actually have, and yet we think we should have more.
Yeah.
We could have this. Those are just lies that the evil one uses. We could live on so much less.
Yeah. And, yeah.
And if you start being generous with everything you have, then God honors that in some way and somehow you'll see differences. Not exactly
right, one-to-one.
One-to-one or something.
Yeah.
Except I don't share my sunglasses.
No?
No. No, you can't share.
You're just a protective.
I let people drive my Jeeps. I let them do everything, but they can't have my
sunglasses. Don't touch the glasses. Are they prescription?
No.
That's just... What's the attachment? I mean, I feel like I ought to go get them and put them on.
Because every time I used to let people, you know, like to drive my Jeep.
Yeah.
And then
all of a sudden they disappear.
And they keep them or they break them.
Yeah.
So one time we're in North Carolina and this kid dropped something in the river and I could see it with my glasses because they're polarized. Right. Yeah. And he couldn't see it. And he... is going to school for nuclear engineering.
Yeah.
So I know I'm thinking in my head, I do not share my sunglasses, but I'm not going to walk out in the creek. So I'm going to give this kid my sunglasses. And he takes them. He says, you can see with these. Yeah. And he puts them in the creek. And the water flows away. And I'm saying, I really am concerned about the nuclear energy in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, once you get into the...
Those are for your face, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't share those.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Everything else, that's I'm willing fine. To share. Money, house, food, drinks... You know, whatever.
Yeah.
That mentality of, why do we have all this junk? And you asked earlier, like the mindset of, okay, we need money to survive. Mm-hmm. Like it is a amount of provision. But the leading verse to your life verse, Lowell, of don't store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Don't worry about my life, my heavenly father knows what I'm going to need. He's going to know I need clothes, food, provision, but seek first his kingdom and your righteousness and he'll take care of the rest. A couple of years ago was just like processing through and thinking about that and realized I don't have a provision problem. I have a stewardship problem. God's already giving me all of these resources. And in my mind, I need to, like we've been talking about, earn more. Mm-hmm. And I can't earn my way to peace, and I can't earn my way to security. God's already given that to me. It's how I will, what I do with that.
Yeah.
And that was a really big light bulb moment for me in really unpacking what is my interaction? Cause we can't just walk away from money, you know, like that's how.
Yeah. You have to pay your bills.
Yeah, exactly. That's how the world goes around. So it isn't I'm just completely done with that and I'm not going to interact with it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do I change my heartship to money? So it's been around for thousands of years. It's not away anytime.
I have another issue. I mean, I think the other huge lie for followers of Jesus is that that's our money. It's mm-hmm. like Jesus doesn't want 10%.
Yeah.
He wants all of us. all our money belongs to Jesus, not just my 10% I might put away for giving.
Right.
Like, no.
The leftover.
No. It's like everything I own,
yeah,
everything I have, I don't have a storage place, but everything in my garage,
yeah,
my life, it all belongs to Jesus. And if he asks me to give whatever,
yeah,
that whatever is what I want to give.
Yeah.
Because he'll take care of that. Like,
yeah,
he asked me to give away a $20,000 car. I give away, where's the money? I don't know, but it comes and here it is. And you give it away and it's like, he takes care of that.
Yeah. Or even the notion that it's like, well, I have, like, I'm giving it away. Even like in my head, that language is, well, I need to give my money to God first and then give it away.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's just his to begin with.
Right. You know, he gives it away through us.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not ours. I'm a follower of Jesus, which means I submit to him.
Yeah.
So I want to do that all the time. And I don't do it perfectly, but as far as I could figure out sometimes, I am, you know, a follower of Jesus, and my money is not my money. There's no such thing as my money.
Yeah.
It's his money and his ministry and what he wants to do with it. And I just hope I listen well and follow.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask a question about the guys that we work with. We work with majoritively college students who are trying to get a four-year degree to go make money. And two of the steps, I think, really hit on this. One is the fear step. And the other one is the step that touches a lot more on agreements or like rebellion versus submission to be learning to be obedient to God's will and trust him with everything that we have.
Yeah.
So what have you guys seen and guys going through the process of Dangerous Men or just in working with college students in general about that kind of deeply ingrained belief system that they've grown up with in most cases their whole life? And then what you've seen God do to start work that out or soften that part of their heart to live more generously, to change or adjust. I'm leaving college to go steward God's kingdom, to rule my kingdom and mm-hmm. to give everything I have to those that he places in my care.
I think the word steward almost gives us a wrong connotation. Like we keep stuff for us and then steward stuff for others, you know, that piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it doesn't mean that, but I mean, it's like, I don't know how to, well, we start with the worst possible thing to give up. Give up our sexuality. I mean, that's how Dangerous Men starts.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, if you can learn to give that up to God and let that be righteous and holy, can we be holy sexual? Then the other stuff, you could follow suit of this is the same process.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think also the like going against the lie and deception that, well, once I make more money, then I'll be generous. And then I'll give
more.
You know, I'm not going to give now, but once I'm more financially stable, because that's all predicated on the lie that money is equal to peace and security.
Mm-hmm.
And only once I have enough to cover what I think is enough for me, then I'll give some money. So really ingraining in guys like, okay, yeah, you're a broke college kid. That doesn't mean you can't give. I mean, look at the lady
money all the time.
Yeah, but look at the lady that gave a penny or whatever, you know, and everyone's like, she didn't give anything.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, no, she gave literally everything because she has nothing.
Yeah.
So ingraining the mentality, because if you can ingrain those truths and those habits when you don't have anything, it's going to translate. More money is only going to accentuate whatever you really believe.
Yeah.
If you believe that it's going to lead you to peace, it's only going to accentuate the fact that that's a complete lie and shame. Yeah, so,
Well, this is great, biblical truth up until this point in our podcast. I have to confess to the two of you that I do not believe that. In fact, I spent most of, my drive this morning talking to my fighting partner on the way here about my lack of belief in God's provision for my life, my lack of trust, if I'm being honest, my insecurities in not even just in relationship to money, but that I have what it takes to live generously, that I can make a difference, Why not just quit and give up and go do something meaningless? Because I can't make a difference anyway, doing what I'm doing.
And that's a huge lie.
Those are the programs that run in my head all the time about negative, you know, negative feedback that I'm so prone to believing. And then it starts to influence my behavior, especially when God invites me to be generous, or that I get a nudge to be obedient, that it's when I've done that, habituated that all day long, it's really easy for that to be the immediate reaction and the place that I return to. And certainly it starts with confession, but you know, what does it look like to actually get beyond that? And what do you say to a guy like me or other men listening to this? That's like, well, you know, those are cute sentiments.
What's the cute sentiment?
Well, then like what scripture says is, yeah, we're supposed to live generously. Like,
yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I agree with that.
We just don't want to do it.
I've been a missionary my whole career. Yeah, I've fundraised my salary my whole career, and I still don't believe it. Right. And so I've done the money side of it.
Yeah.
Yet still I've walked most of my days, I think, if I'm being radically honest with myself, I do not believe really that central lie that Jesus is enough.
Yeah.
That I have three young kids at home, that I'm being enough, a good enough dad, raising a family, a completely abandoned to the Lord. And it's far easier for me to start believing the lie that I'm not being a good provider, that I should, you know, I should give up the feigned hope that God will provide and grow there and do it myself. Go get a good job. What are you wasting your time for? And it's really easy to believe, especially in an environment that is so materially rich, to compare to people around you that are leveling up when it comes to wealth, or they're getting more, that they can do it. And it's funny, you know, my wife and I have been talking about this a lot. And one of the things that she's verbalized that I think is radical, honestly, but radical honesty in relationship to this is the desire to not be reliant on other people. Our whole lives, our whole marriage, we have had to depend on my parents, on her parents, on other people to provide for our careers, to be able to provide for our family. And I've experienced the richness of it. I've experienced the transformation that actually by inviting other people to provide something for us, how it's offered them something in a really incredible, beautiful way. But I still don't believe that it says like, well, I'd love to graduate from that someday, you know, like I'd love to get over.
Who needs the body of Christ anyway? Right, I mean, you know, the other people around there, they're just nuisance.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're a problem.
Yeah. So how do you get over self-reliance?
How do you get over it? I would say, just try it. This one thing, one time, when you get the nudge, just do it and see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's really how I learned to hear God's Spirit. It's like, I think it's God's Spirit. I'm not sure if it's God's Spirit. It might be my thought. It might be Him. It definitely makes me uncomfortable. I probably don't want to do it, but I think I'll do it and see what happens.
Yeah.
There. And then it was God, and it was cool because the results of when God tells you to do something is way better than results when I think it up. And then it's like, oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So I mean,
give me an example
of one nudge.
Yeah.
Oh, I have so many old ones. I'm trying to think of a one lately. Well, there's a lot. You know, there's a lot. I think the ones that come to my mind is one that I've told a lot. So maybe you've heard it before, but
yeah.
I'm going on a trip to Japan in a day or so, and I get the nudge to go see this kid in college, which is about 2 hours away. And it's like, why now? I don't have to go see him now. I got to pack. I got to get ready. I'm taking a trip, blah, blah, blah. And then I get the thought again. There's a little, I call it a nudge from the Holy Spirit. It's a, I got a lot of excuses why I don't have to drive 2 hours to see some college kid. Yeah. And then, so I get it again. It's like, I'll do it. So it's like, I call him up. Hey, you want to have lunch? Yeah. So I drive down 2 hours to see him. And we're driving around in the country. We had lunch, you know, and then he just wanted to talk. And he comes to Christ. It's like, whoa, no wonder God, he knew that the Holy Spirit had got to convince me because he's already convinced that guy that he needs Jesus. And so I need to obey and get down there and do that. And that, you know, and that changes things. So, you know, that's how Dangerous Men started, you know, with the kid who was a gangster disciple, gang member in Minneapolis. And he came to Christ. And then he is going to my church and he gets baptized. And the Holy Spirit's saying, I want you to mentor him. And I'm thinking, I don't want to mentor him. I got enough to do. I got a lot of excuses. I'm whatever. I got foster kids. I got, you know. And it was like, no, I want you to mentor him. It's like at that point in my life, I've learned, obey anyway. That's my little saying about it. If I think it might be God, just obey it. So I did the roundabout. You know, I told somebody in the youth group to tell him if he wanted a mentor to call me. So I figure, you know, they'll forget. He won't care. This old guy in the church, he doesn't know. He won't call. You know, and so within a week, he calls and goes, I've been praying for a mentor. And I'm thinking, crap. You know, but it turned out awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's just so many of those. Just if you get the nudge and you think it might be God, just obey it and see what happens. And then with money or anything else, it starts this like, this is fun. It's really fun to watch God work.
Yeah. Well, it strikes me now that the answer really is a simple exercise that underpins all discipleship that you talk a lot about. And you've taught so many of us how to start doing in our life. And that's hearing from God.
Yeah.
And we are so bad. Maybe it's just men in particular or the whole human race, or because we live in such a noisy world or whatever. So many of us don't hear him. So I'd love to, you know, end this episode talking a little bit about that. For the guy that's saying, I want to live more generously, I want to have more of a heart disposition towards seeing everything that I own, everything that I possess, everything that I am as God's, and then steward it as a result of that, even though you don't like that word. What's the simple exercise that a guy could start walking through every day that would help him hear from the Lord and then start to respond in those little ways of obedience?
There's another word I don't like. I want to change. It's like, no, I choose to change. I choose to do whatever you want to need to do. I choose to submit to Jesus. I mean, that's where you start.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. How do you? None of this works if you can't start there. You're like, are you going to choose? Is he Lord or is he not? I love that C.S. Lewis, it's Mere Christianity, Shocking Alternatives chapter. You know, it's like either he's the Lord, the liar, or a lunatic. But that's the only choices logically he gave us. And it's like, yeah, am I going to submit to him as Lord or think that he's a lunatic and he thought he was God and he's not?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just a complete lie? Well, the biggest liar the world's ever known. And he got all sorts of people to die for him. You know, it's like, I don't know, but I think I had to decide he's Lord. And if he's Lord, then I need to bow down and treat him as real.
Yeah.
As God.
Yeah.
Of my life. So.
So I'm choosing to do that.
I choose to submit to Jesus. I keep doing it every day, all the time.
Yeah.
And I choose to, the next time I think it might be the Holy Spirit, I choose to obey.
Yeah.
And
just like Dangerous Men, it always goes back to identity. It's not like there's this part of us that's out there that we need to somehow attain. It's you go at the core root of who do we actually believe and is Jesus actually Lord? Did he actually pay for all our sins? And do we actually have the image of God inside of us?
Yeah.
And we're just renewing our minds like it talks about in scripture. It's not like we're trying to attain this new thing that's out there that isn't already a part of us. We're just aligning and choosing to submit to the truth that's already inside of us, of our real identity as God's boy, as generous men, as vulnerable, all those things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just add, you know, the Jamie Winship, almost a shout out to him on his identity stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's always been the most important piece to us. And he packages it so cool and so well. So that's a real cool part that's added.
Yeah. Yeah. And the two questions that always come to mind since you introduced us to all that stuff is asking the Lord, what do you want me to know? And what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that to me is the most practical. Okay. I need to start. I don't feel like I hear from God today in my day to day life. So how do I start? And those two questions for me, I think I've been doing that in one way or another for a lot of years before I heard those two questions worded like that. But since I started pressing into that more and more, that has been super, that's the way to walk in your day to day life and learn how to be generous and to live generously in your day to day life is to ask God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And when
specifically he responds about each issue. So for you, it'd be like, God, what do you want me to know about money and me?
Yeah.
You know, and then what do you want me to do? Yeah. You know, so it's kind of like, be specific about those questions.
Yeah.
What do you want me to know about this?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Awesome. This has been a good conversation. Just a little bit of a teaser with what it looks like to live generously. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you need any support or any help where you are at in your life, you can go to dmu.org to connect with us. Or if you know our email address is joeseashore or grant@dmu.org, we'd love to hear from you. Praying for you guys. Keep fighting the good fight. Remember that you are a man to men, a warrior to demons, and always God's boy. Peace.
I'll drink to that.